Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying freedom in the Christian life, overcoming bitterness. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, freedom of the soul. Let's take a quick review of the past two sessions in this Bible study about dealing with bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Anger, allowing bitterness to take root and give ground to the enemy. The priority of being willing to forgive fully and know freedom. Let's now take a look at the torturers. And again, let's look at Matthew chapter 18, the passage we've read. Let's read it one more time, but we'll just start a little bit further in when Jesus begins to tell the parable in verse 23 of Matthew 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him all the debt. But that servant went out and found another of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. But when the fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him in, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my Father, my Heavenly Father, also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. What is the obvious reality in verse 34? He could never repay the debt, certainly not in prison. He needed to gain an understanding of mercy. There have been many sermons and books on spiritual warfare. Indulge me to share one more lesson, one that's probably a little different than all the others that you've heard. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I believe the Apostle Paul reveals three truths in this passage related to spiritual warfare that apply to bitterness and dealing with it. First, the type of battle is spiritual versus flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. If the battle is not in the flesh, then why do we spend our time fighting in the flesh? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know this fact, yet we attack each other, falling prey to the devil, planting and growing bitterness. The battle is spiritual, and so are the weapons used in the warfare. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Someone offends me, and I deal with it according to the flesh, eventually covering it up, but never getting it resolved. As Christians, we have superior air power through prayer, and the enemy knows it. So he works to lure us into a ground war fought in the flesh. Second, the place of the battle is our mind, will, and emotions, our soul. Verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There are three kinds of strongholds that are identified in this passage. First, there's strongholds, which is a fortress, a place of human confidence. The second is arguments, a consideration, intentions that eventually lead to actions. And then a high thing, a barrier, which is essentially an elevated wall that's difficult to pass. So, how do strongholds get built? Well, the ground given to Satan in the soul. And he's a very good real estate developer. Learn an important principle here. The ground, or the place, was given over to the enemy by sin. It can only be regained through forgiveness. Satan builds arguments of justifying anger or bitterness, and that mindset stronghold hinders mercy. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Satan can use the stronghold to influence our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, with sinful things like fear, and anger, depression, worry, lust, and it goes on and on. These are the torturers that Jesus is talking about. We feel helpless. Well, I can't overcome this sin problem. Why is that? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Through false reasoning, Satan sets up principalities. It says we wrestle against principalities. Satan sets up principalities and he wreaks havoc on our lives. All because sin is not dealt with God's way. If you visit St. Augustine, Florida, you'll see that the fort on the water is that it's called the Castillo de San Marcos. What's very interesting about that wall was that during any attacks on St. Augustine, the cannonballs were shot at the fort, and the wall seemed to just swallow the cannonballs and not be affected. Normally a cannonball will hit something and it'll explode, it'll shatter. But the wall of the Castillo de San Marcos would just eat the cannonballs. And why is that? Well, it's because when they built it, they went into the harbor and they dredged out this stuff called coquina. It's kind of a soft limestone that's made up primarily of shell fragments. So when the cannonball hit it, it would just break up those fragments, but it wouldn't explode the whole wall. As long as sin is not confessed and forgiven, Satan can laugh and continue to torture. Bitterness can torture your life for years. Well, let me ask you, is bitterness torturing your life? Even now? It's been going on for a while. Third, the objective of the battle is freedom from sin. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Pull down those mindsets against and barriers to the word of God, to the truth of God's word. Allow the knowledge of God to get through. Bring every thought captive to obedience of Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, just for a moment. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation 12:11 is a very powerful, very, very interesting verse. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. This is how the martyrs, the Christians, overcame the attacks of the Antichrist, who's powered by Satan. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Listen, this is identity. This is identification. Identify with Jesus Christ in salvation. Identify with Jesus Christ in eternal life. Identify with Jesus Christ to the death. So how do we overcome bitterness? Well, first of all, you have to confess the sin of bitterness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then second, ask God to regain the surrendered ground. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen, you got to understand the whole principle of eviction. In eviction, the tenant cannot be evicted by the landlord. It takes the sheriff to do it. Listen, in our spiritual situation where we have given over ground to Satan and he occupies it now like a tenant, even though it belongs to Jesus Christ, we can't just kick him out. Satan has to go through the process of eviction. God is the sheriff, the one who has the authority to take back possession of the property. Satan is not going to give up ground willingly. Jude 9, Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." See, the Lord has the power to bring back ground that's been surrendered. And then third, tear down strongholds with truth. The truth is Scripture. The enemy's gone, but the structures are still in your mind, all those strongholds. Romans 12, verse 2 is very clear on this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then, fourth, show mercy by forgiving your offender. Release the debt. Confess your bitterness and unforgiveness and forgive your offender. Release the debt. Ask God for His help in gaining back what was lost. You have a great day.